Thanks so much for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, including directions and service times, visit cbglades.com. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good night! Man, hey, I want y'all to stay standing for just a second. Stay standing. Do me a favor. Take a look around the room. This is unbelievable. I woke up this morning and it was kind of raining. I said, Julie, ain't nobody coming to church this morning. Give yourselves a round of applause. Wow. That's awesome. Go ahead and have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. We are beyond excited to get to be here.
We love, 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 love our CBG family.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when we land in Florida and we see those palm trees, I said, I love Florida.
These are my people.
I love Florida. We love being here. And we, you know, we love David and Lisa Hughes. Come on now.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
can you not love David and Lisa? They are our closest friends. We feel so fortunate to get to partner in ministry with them. And obviously, we love Charlie, Victoria, and Zane as
For
well.
Sure.
They are extended family to us. And so thank you for letting us be part of your CBG family. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. Thank you.
No doubt about it. No doubt. Now, you know, of course, that we love everybody, right? Tell your neighbor, we love everybody.
We do. We love everybody.
But we really like David and Lisa. I mean, we like Pastor David and Pastor Lisa so much. We create, like, we fabricate reasons and excuses to get together. How many of you know, like, we like David and Lisa so much, we travel together. You know, it's one thing if one spouse likes another spouse, but when you find another couple that both people like the same amount, that's like manna from heaven. That is a rare, rare gift. And as a matter of fact, we love getting to be here this weekend, get to speak into this series, This Is Us. So excited about that. And it reminded me, one of the first times that Julie and I ever got to travel with David and Lisa, we were at a church conference together, and the night before the conference began, we kind of made arrangements to meet in the lobby of the hotel at the appointed time, and then we were going to go over to the conference together. And that morning, Julie and I got up, got ready, and we got downstairs more or less about at the appointed hour. And we got down there, and there was no David or Lisa, no big deal. We still had some time. We'd built in some margin, and we kind of waited two or three more minutes. No David, no Lisa, no big deal. Well, about 5 minutes after we were supposed to have met in the lobby, we get this text from Lisa on our way down. So I thought it would be funny if I were standing at the elevator doors when they got off of the elevator, if I was standing there looking at my watch like, where have you been? We're late.
He thought it'd be funny. I thought it'd be rude, but he did it anyway.
I did. So sure enough, we kind of knew where they were and when they were coming down. And as they exited the elevator, I'm going, what is your deal? David said, as he came off the elevator,
I'm so sorry. We're on Hughes Standard Time this morning.
Does he sound just like David or what?
Listen, I've been studying David for years. And I've been stealing from him liberally when it comes to sermons. Well, David said, you know, he's apologetic. I'm so sorry. It'll never happen again. Lisa never skipped a beat. She looks me dead in the eye and she said, Mac, this does not just happen. Is that a great line?
So good.
Well, Lisa was right. And Julie and I are here to tell you today that This Is Us does not just happen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, This Is Us does not just happen.
This Is Us does not just happen.
You see, every us that we're a part of, every relationship that really and truly matters, you will never, ever, ever drift into relational success, into family, peace, and joy. It takes a high, high degree of intentionality and grit and just tenacity to get to where God wants us to be with all of our relationships.
And every relationship, family relationships, dating relationships, friendships, co-workers, every relationship,
church
relationships, every relationship requires work. We don't just fall into it. We work for it. And what we do, we teach a lot about family relationships and about marriage. And let me be clear, it is not because we do it perfectly.
No.
That was a little too quick.
I mean me. I was talking about me.
Wow. Okay then. That we do not do it perfectly. We
As you can
teach,
tell.
Yeah, we teach about talk about trying for a marriage. We teach
it is hard
about
work,
marriage and family,
me.
Not because we do it perfectly, but because we believe passionately that if you choose to submit your life to his laws and your ways to his word, your life will work better. Period.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you will be without problems. Doesn't mean that your life will be smooth sailing, but it does mean that the creator of the universe gives us a guideline, and when you choose to follow those guidelines, your life works better. And whether you are in a marriage right now or not, to understand God's design about marriage helps everyone. To understand God's design for family and the family structure, whether you have children at home or not, there is value in studying God's plan, God's structure, because every time we learn more about his plan, we learn more about ourselves, and we learn more about our relationship with him. And so whether you are knee-deep in toddlers or elementary kids or students, or you are in a dating relationship, or you're not even considering dating anyone right now, wherever you are, our prayer is that you open your mind and your heart to what God has for you today, because his word never returns void. Yeah. And if you allow it to penetrate your heart, then he will show you something specific to your life today. And so are we in it together? Say, I'm in it.
I'm in it.
Okay, here we go. Here's the deal about God's family structure. There is no verse that says, at age 12, allow your children to have a cell phone. It doesn't do that. It's not that specific. But it does certainly give us guidelines on the purpose of family, God's plan for family, his structure for family. And we see from the very beginning that God's design, God's desire, is that family is the first place. Family is where we learn connection and unconditional love. That is the job of the parent, to model and to teach connection and unconditional love. Now, as we're teaching connection, we are also teaching correction. As we are teaching unconditional love, we are also teaching unwavering truth. They go hand in hand. And it's much bigger than just raising up children to be great adults, even though that's part of it. But when you read God's word, you see that his design, his desire, is that parents embrace the responsibility of parenting, embrace the responsibility of being the authority, with keeping in mind that I teach my children to connect with me. I teach my children unconditional love. I correct them. I direct them. I train and teach them. My prayer is that I model for them connection, unconditional love, correction, and unwavering truth, because one day they will live in their own relationship with their heavenly Father. You see, as I teach Emily and Joseph, our kids are now 23 and 21, not quite as hands-on as I was at one time, but my prayer is that they learn that they can trust me because I've poured into this relationship. So even when they don't understand or agree with my parenting, they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have their best interests in mind. Why is that important? Because at some point, my children will definitely get to a place where God is telling them or commanding them to do something that they don't understand or agree with. But my prayer is that even when they don't understand, they trust and obey. There is no command to understand. His command is to trust and obey. And so that is what we model in the home. Do we do it perfectly? Heavens, no. Our Heavenly Father is perfect without flaw. He is never selfish. He is never tired. He is never, you know, worn out or without an idea of how to solve a problem. We don't do it perfectly, but that doesn't mean I toss in the towel just because I don't do it perfectly. I understand that I embrace my responsibility. I give it my best. And I trust him with the rest. He will fill in the gaps, not if, but when I fall short in my marriage and in my parenting. What a wonderful promise. I kind of cling to that a lot.
And that's funny the way that you said it, and 1,000% true. You know, the fact of the matter is, when we say we're going to do our best, you know, let's be honest. Because we're all family here. This is church. We can be honest amongst ourselves, right? A lot of times, I don't always get to my best. Sometimes just because I'm tired. Anybody else ever, like as a parent, do you ever just kind of go, hey, you know what? I'm going to act like I didn't see that because I'm tired. For those of you whose parents, who are parents and your hands are in the air right now, thank you for telling the truth. Those of you who aren't, let me remind you, you're in church. And there are thunderstorms around us today. So let's leave the lightning outside and don't bring it inside by lying in church. Sometimes we get tired. And when we say that God has called us to this incredible thing called family, and that it's out of our family relationships that we understand, that we execute and live out our other relationships. Think about every single relationship, every us that you're a part of. I promise you, your family of origin definitely informs and impacts how you handle every other relationship. That's really just kind of common sense, but it's common sense because that's how God wired this thing up to work. God always designed and desired the family to be the tip of the spear spiritually and relationally. As Julie says, so that moms and dads are teaching kids how to live, why to live in relationship with God, to show them what that looks like. And that's a task for all of us. Parents, children, adult children, empty nesters. Give me a high five on the empty nest. Would somebody help me preach? I didn't even know that the empty nest was a goal when we got married. Man, if I'd have known that, woo, I'm telling you, we would have avoided a lot of conflicts early in our marriage. This is when you get to the empty nest and the kids leave home and you still like each other. Like you go out on dates and you don't have to worry about what time you're coming home or paying the babysitter. Yeah, I'm telling you, if you're a young parent right now or you're thinking about getting married, just remember, one day it's going to be her and me again, just the two of us, and that is awesome. That's all I'm going to say. I've already said too much. But this thing that God calls us to is so awesome that it requires that we partner with him. You see, God calls us to something that we cannot do by ourselves. This task, this privilege is too great on our own. How many, have you ever heard, I love it when people say this, God will never give you more than you can handle. Have you ever heard that? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that. Okay, listen, let me say this first. I know where that comes from, and it comes from a good place. People want to help. There's just one little problem with that statement. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Listen, I am 51 years old. 51 years old. And I know that God has allowed a lot of things into my life that I can't handle by myself. But I also know that he has promised me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am your rock, your redeemer. And so there are moments, there have been times over 27 years of wedded bliss when Julie and I look at each other and we're like, I don't know what to do. We have a marriage motto in our home. I'm not going anywhere. That's our motto. We don't have t-shirts printed up, but that's what we say. Say, I'm not going anywhere. Now, sometimes we'll say, I don't like you right now, but I'm not going anywhere. Or, I don't understand you, but I'm not going anywhere. How many of you have ever felt that way with somebody in your family? Like, what planet are you from? But I'm not going anywhere. Fortunately, not only has God called us to this incredible, immense privilege called family, this original, this is us, but he's also shown us biblically how to live it out. From Genesis to maps, if you read the Bible, there's this incredible link between family and the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Look in your Bibles in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God gives us an incredible insight. And I want you to read the highlighted words on the screen with me. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. What God is saying here, this is in Deuteronomy. So this is at the very beginning of God starting to articulate and to codify his relationship with humanity through the nation of Israel. And he says, listen, as a parent in the home, everything is a teachable moment. Everything is an opportunity to show your kids who God is, how God works, and why what God says is the absolute best alternative for your life. That's the first and primary responsibility of the family. Now, as you can tell, that this is us does not just happen. Parents have to pray for wisdom and discernment, for courage to do the right thing and to toe the line and to hold the line sometimes, but also for love and for grace. How many of us as parents have ever kind of looked at our children whom we would love and take a bullet for? As our children, we would say, just, you need to go outside. You need to go outside for your safety. Any other parents ever been there? It's in those moments that we say, God, give me your grace. Give me your forgiveness. The same understanding and forgiveness you have extended to me, help me to show to these children that for some reason you gave to me. That's so, so important in those moments. And man, the anchor point of every family, this is us, the anchor, the root is the marriage. It is what God says marriage is all about in Ephesians chapter number 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, God is kind of, he's written out basically an essay on marriage. This is what Ephesians 5, 31 through 33 says. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. I love this. This is a great mystery.
What an understatement. Like maybe the grandest understatement in all of scripture. Marriage is a mystery.
But check this out. Read this with me. But it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So this thing called marriage is not just about husband and wife. It's primarily, originally, first and foremost, about communicating and exemplifying and modeling the love, the perfect unconditional love and connection that God has for his people. That's what this is all about.
And he talks, Paul talks to definitely the marriage and the couple and the parents. But then he continues in chapter 6. Certainly great responsibility lies with the parents in the home. But there's also responsibility given to the children in the home. Children, this is Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with the promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. He's saying, yes, parents, you have a responsibility, but children, you also have a responsibility. And the more you read God's word, the more you understand that the family structure is setting us up for our relationship with God. As you look at yourself as a child of God and you read the scripture that way, children, obey your parents. I obey God because He has my best interest in mind. So I submit to His ways because His ways are on purpose, with purpose, for a purpose. And if I will trust Him, my life will work better. And then I continue, honor God. Honor your father and mother. Honor God, for things will go well for you. You see, it's all part of His plan. So we love studying marriage and family because it's about so much more than just the family. It's about life. It's about our relationship with Him. And as we study God's ideal, as we study God's design and His desire, immediately we think where we've fallen short.
Yeah.
Or perhaps where we fell short, you know, or our parents fell short in the home we grew up in. When I say, you know, the family is where we learn unconditional love and connection, and you're thinking, I did not learn that. That's not the home that I grew up in. Here is God's genius, God's miraculous nature. Nothing, everyone say nothing.
Nothing.
Say it like you mean it, nothing.
Nothing.
This is so important. Nothing is wasted in God's economy. Nothing. No bad experience, no horrible mistake, no season of mistakes, no tragedy, no sadness, no pain. Nothing is wasted in God's economy. Yeah. Scripture says Jesus is my rock and my redeemer. No matter what happened yesterday, today is a new day. Tomorrow is even brighter. You can choose today to submit to His word. You can choose today to submit to His ways. And you can choose today to allow Jesus to redeem your hurt, your pain, your past, whatever it is.
You know what? And too, I think that's such a great point. I think, too, we've said this before. I'm not a big fan of the term dysfunctional family. You know that. Here's the deal. I kind of think, or at least operate with the assumption, there's no such thing as a dysfunctional family. Some of you are doubtful. Listen.
You're like, you don't know my family.
Yeah. Listen, I don't like the term dysfunctional because I think it implies that somewhere there's a functional family. Every family has dysfunction in it. Every family does. Now, to be sure, some more than others, and there are horrific things that can happen in the context of family outside of God's purposes, outside of God's plan, outside of His desire and design, but that comes back to what Julie was just talking about and the fact that even when those things happen, and I'm gonna tell you, this is not just a theory or something that I read. Even when those things happen, God can and will. He is strong enough, all-powerful enough to use them for His glory and our good when they happen.
But we have to understand what He means when Jesus says, I will redeem.
Yeah.
When He is the Redeemer, what does that mean? Redeem is a great church word. And I do not know Greek or Hebrew, but I do know fast food. I do know fast food, and I know that God's favorite fast food, hello, is Chick-fil-A. So, agree with me here. Number 512 count with Chick-fil-A sauce and a large sweet tea. Thank you.
It's just biblical truth.
That's right. I remember my first Chick-fil-A sandwich. I was probably 7 years old. It's one of my favorite memories ever. I was in South Carolina. I'd heard about it. I was so excited. Here's the thing about, it's going to go back to redeem, trust me. I'm going to get there. Now I'm hungry. But, okay, so the greatest gift that I can be given is a Chick-fil-A gift card. And I...
It's true.
And the greatest surprise... You know how people are excited if you find a five in your pocket while doing the laundry? Okay, here's my best surprise. If I'm digging in my purse and I find a Chick-fil-A gift card on the bottom of my purse or on the floorboard of my car, tells a lot about how much I clean up. But anyway... So I pull out this Chick-fil-A gift card. It does not matter the condition of the Chick-fil-A gift card. They will redeem it for a Chick-fil-A sandwich. So I pull out my Chick-fil-A gift card. There have been times when the Chick-fil-A gift card, you couldn't even read the word Chick-fil-A. It had crumbs on it. Maybe it was folded in half with a piece of gum in it. And I can drive up to the drive-thru, hand them a piece of cardboard that barely is even readable anymore. It doesn't matter the condition of the card. I hand it to them. They redeem it and give me back a what? A Chick-fil-A sandwich with pickles. Mac does not do pickles on his Chick-fil-A sandwich. What's up with that? I do not know. So they will give me back a Chick-fil-A sandwich. This is our God, our rock and our redeemer. You take what you have. Your history with relationships, your past, your pain, your hurt, your mistakes. God can use even your mistakes. You take them, you give them to God, and say, from this day forward, I trust you, I will obey you. He will give you back something better than a Chick-fil-A sandwich. My God, my rock and my redeemer. I don't understand how he does it. It's the miracle of God. I can listen to your problems. I can listen to your story. I can have sympathy for your pain. I cannot redeem. Only Jesus can redeem. Only God can take something so terrible, so painful, so hurtful, so wrong, and use it for his glory and our good when we trust and obey.
Yeah. And like I said a second ago, this is not theory to us. This is not, I did go to seminary. And for the record, I don't eat pickles because I learned in seminary they are satanic.
That is...
They're wrong. Horrible. They're horrible.
That is so wrong. That's not a real Chick-fil-A.
But that's not the point of today's sermon. You see, Julie and I, this is not theory. By the grace of God, we are getting to live this out because I came from a family that would be termed a broken family. My parents split up when I was 12 years old. My dad hit the eject button, bailed out. My mom raised three boys by herself. Now, give it up for
mom. Yeah, she deserves applause.
She is salty. My parents' divorce was not God's will for our family. God, who is a good God, who is a God of love, who is the God of work and of commitment, did not decree from on high that Tom and Linda Richard should be married for 18 years, have three boys, and then get divorced, and Tom go start another family. That wasn't God's plan. But, everybody say but.
But.
This is a big biblical but. God is so all-powerful, omnipotent, and all loving, all good, that he was able to take what I learned and saw through my parents' divorce and work it in a way that has blessed and helped Julie and me in this marriage to be able to continue to say over and over and over again, I'm not going anywhere. Love you, mean it, but you're stuck with me. And so we have seen that principle of God taking something that was absolutely outside of his will and his plan and turn it around and use it in our lives to redeem it for his good, I'm sorry, for his glory and for our good. In case you can't tell, we kind of like each other. We kind of enjoy being married to each other, and it came out of so much pain that I went through when I was a kid and this incredible woman's work ethic and beauty and grace and everything else that God gave me to her when I wasn't smart enough to ask. And God gave us more than all we could ask or imagine and continues to work it for his glory and our good according to his power that is at work within us in the church and all future generations in his name. Amen.
And he says that in Romans 8:28. And some of you may have heard this before. If you've not heard this before, you need to go ahead, write it down, memorize it. And we know, not we think, or we can kind of, you know, fathom, we can kind of lean toward, but we know that God causes
everything.
Not some things, not most things, but what word?
Everything.
God causes everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. He will use anything you've got for his glory and your good. But you have to trust him with it. You have to give it over to him. And at that moment, submit your ways to his word and your life to his laws. And your life will work better. I can't explain it, but I've seen it so many times in my own life, in our marriage, in our family. God is good and he is for you. And he will use for his glory and your good anything that you will trust to him.
Absolutely. Every mistake that I've ever made as a husband, God has redeemed. Every mistake that I've made as a parent, God has redeemed. And we're going to bring it full circle right now. Do you remember the first verse that we read at the very beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 6? What did it say? You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Commit yourself wholeheartedly. Redemption doesn't just happen if you dip your toes in the Christian faith. This is why Jesus said the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. It's the same thing that was said in Deuteronomy 1,400 years before he walked on the earth. Do you see the consistency and the constancy of God in this? That if we will love God with everything that we've got, which means, by the way, we trust him more than we trust ourselves. If we will love him with everything, commit ourselves wholeheartedly, he will use everything for good, for his glory, and for our good. And so there's no way that we can know where everyone in the room is today, or maybe watching. There's no way that we could know everything about your life or your family of origin or where you are at this moment. But we do know this. We do know the God of creation is the God of salvation. And the God who made you on purpose, with a purpose, created you to live in relationship with us, with him. The very first us. It's not husband and wife. It's not even the family. The first us is a relationship with God. And that is what this is all about. That's what it's all about. You focus on that relationship, and then all of these relationships take care of themselves. When we conclude in just a moment, if you've never stepped into a relationship with God, you've never embraced that personally and definitively, you are in the perfect place this morning. You're in the exact right place because you're surrounded by people who want to help. And as a matter of fact, when the service ends in just a few minutes, there are going to be some prayer partners down here at the front of the stage. And if you want to talk to somebody, or maybe you've got something you want to pray about in an us that you're a part of, we invite you to come down here and pray with them. Be a part of this incredible church family, Church by the Glades. Be a part of what God is doing in this place, but also through this place, in this community and beyond. I want to pray with you before we go. Our Father and our God, we love you. We lift you up in this place, God, and thank you for the fact that this is us does not just happen, but that you call us to it. And what you call us to, you equip us for. Father, it's our prayer that you would be glorified and honored in every single thing that happens out of this weekend. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message at Church by the Glades. Stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CB Glades and at Pastor D. Hughes.